Joining us again here on Active Voice Radio to talk about your article that's up this week at Slate.com. It was published, I believe, September 1st, updated September 6th. A Department of Homeland Screw-Up is the title of the article. And you're taking quite a strong stand about the Department of Homeland Security and the Bush administration's reaction in New Orleans. Tell me a little bit about, tell me what you think about this and why you're taking such a strong stand against DOHS.
Well, I recently wrote a history of American counterterrorism, and it is a history that argues, and it starts in World War II and goes through September 11th. I did part of this as a commission for the 9/11 Commission. They asked me to do to study the period 68 through 1993, and one of the chief things that I discovered was that Americans, though they can do it well, do not like to do counterterrorism, particularly at home. And so the blind spot, what gives the book its title, is our unwillingness and inability to think about domestic security. We haven't had a domestic security council, didn't before 9/11. We had a national security council, but it dealt with foreign threats. The Department of Homeland Security was designed to fill this gap. It was designed to deal with the fact that Americans, and it's painful. If you look at this historically, Americans have not really taken the threat of terrorism at home seriously. So when Katrina hit, it was the first test of our ability to respond to a mass casualty event in a city. It was our first chance to see if we had learned the lesson of 40 years of inaction and ineffectiveness in dealing with terrorism. Because one of the things that we did traditionally was we allowed local responders to be overwhelmed before we sent in the cavalry.
We waited. Local officials were required to wait and then make the call.
But the lesson of 9/11, and then repeated by the London bombings this summer, was that we're in a world where the federal government should be the first responder. That it's no longer, It is quaint and archaic and wrong to have the local police be the first responder in a mass casualty event. And when Katrina hit and the federal government 4, 5, 6 days later still hadn't sent in our active servicemen, I realized that the planning that we've paid millions of dollars for by the Department of Homeland Security is bogus. That we are no more prepared for a mass casualty event today, 4 years after September 11th, than we were on September 10th, 2001, and that is an outrage.
Now let me ask you this. Do you think that the Department of Homeland Security should cease to exist?
Yes.
Immediately.
I think this should be a topic for a much longer discussion. It'll sound glib to your listeners now, but let me give you the short version of this. Politicians, in order to show action, decided that the reforms that we should have after 9/11 were all to be institutional because they're big reforms. You can see them. You build all these new constructs. You have a czar of domestic security, and that's the director of Homeland Security. Bureaucratic reorganization, first of all, it takes a long time to work. It takes years for organizations really to come up to speed. And we just took a bunch of inefficient organizations, slammed them together, put a director of Homeland Security on top of it, and said we've got something better and new. Each agency had to be reformed. The FBI had to be improved so that it dealt with the domestic intelligence problem better. But what they did was they jumbled these things together, and somehow they believed that this would resolve the problem. And that's baloney. The same with the intelligence reform. George Tenet, who was director of Central Intelligence in the summer of 2001, jumped up and down to tell the president, to get the president to understand that Al-Qaeda was a major threat to American security. And if you look carefully at what the Bush administration's priorities were in the summer of 2001, you'll find that it was the stem cell issue, it was negotiating a new arrangement with the Soviets so the United States could engage in a missile defense deployment. We were worried about China. Al-Qaeda was not high on our list of priorities. So the president's main intelligence advisor was trying to get his attention, and he didn't succeed. Why a director of national intelligence today should be any more successful at getting a president to focus on something he's not interested in is beyond me. But we needed a new title. We needed to create a new role. We had to show the American people that we were on guard. So we engaged in bureaucratic reform. That's just not the way to do it. I don't see any reason why the Department of Homeland Security can be successful. It's 22 agencies, thousands of employees. It's a big, slow elephant. It's
and
a failure.
We see that bureaucracy kills.
Let me just put it this way. Mother Nature is primarily responsible for the hurricane, but we are responsible for compounding the tragedy by not responding fast enough. And that mistake is a bureaucratic mistake, but it's also a failure of leadership. There are tools available to the president to move the bureaucracies faster, and this president didn't use those tools. I wish we had had tapes. I wish we knew what was going on in his mind when he was in Crawford, but he didn't use the tools available to him, and I think that's the reason why he's apologizing now.
What kind of precedents are there for presidents dealing with this kind of military activation on American soil? There are precedents for this.
Yes, there are precedents. President Kennedy used military force, as did Dwight Eisenhower, in the various civil rights disputes in the South. President Truman actually took over the steel industry. Now, he got into trouble for it. He was slapped on the wrist by the Supreme Court. But this president, for example, could have commandeered Greyhound buses and FedEx trucks. Could have commandeered helicopters, could have commandeered commercial airliners to fly into the airport if he had wanted to. The power of the presidency, there's a sort of a takings clause in the Constitution, and the president could have done these things. And, you know, if he had, because his party controls both houses of Congress, if he had told Congress he wanted them to do it, Congress, without any limitation, could have done it. But they didn't. They sat and they twiddled their thumbs for days.
We're speaking with Timothy Naftali, the author of Blind Spot, The Secret History of American Counterterrorism, and also his latest article at Slate.com is Department of Homeland Screw-Up. Timothy, thank you for taking this extra time to speak with us about this today, and we'll put a link up on our website to this Department of Homeland Screw-Up article at Slate.com as well.
Thanks a lot, Chris. It was my pleasure.